welcome everyone for this evening's Srimad Bhagavad Gita class. Today we are studying chapter 6, text 27 and 28. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 27. Prashanta manasam yenam yoginam sukhamuttamam upaeti shanta rajasam brahma bhutam akalmasham yunjannevam sadatmanam Yogi Vigata Kalmashaha Sukhena Brahma Sansparsham Atyantam Sukhamashnute Prashantamanasam Yenam Yoginam Sukhamuttamam Upaeti shanta rajasam Brahma bhutam akalmasham Yunjannevam sadatmanam Yogi vigata kalmashah Sukhena brahma sansparsham Atyantam sukhamashnute. Someone can recite the verses. Prashantamanasam yenam yoginam sukhamuttamam upayeti shantarajasam brahma bhutam akalmasham. Next word. Yunjanyevam sadatmanam Yogi vigata kalmashah Sukhena brahma sansparsham Atyantam sukhamashnute. Anyone, Mataji? Prashanta manasam yenam yoginam sukhamuttamam upayeti shanta rajasam rama bhutam akalmasham yunjanevam sadatmanam yogi vigata kalmasham Sukhena brahma sansparsham Atyantam sukhamashnute. Word by word translation. Prashant, peaceful, fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna. Manasam, whose mind? He, certainly. Enam, this. Yoginam, yogi, sukham, happiness, uttamam, the highest, upayati, attains, shanta rajasam, his passion pacified, brahma bhutam, liberation by identification, liberation with the Absolute. Akalmasham, free from all past sinful reactions. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The yogi whose mind is fixed on me verily attains the highest perfection of transcendental happiness. He is beyond the mode of passion. He realizes his qualitative identity with the Supreme, and thus he is freed from all reactions to past deeds. Purport: Brahma-bhuta is the state of being free from material contamination and situated in the transcendental service of the Lord. Madhabhaktim labhate param. Bhagavad Gita 18.54. One cannot remain in the quality of Brahman, the Absolute, until one's mind is fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord. Savai manah krishna padaravindayo. To be always engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, or to remain in Krishna consciousness, is to be factually liberated from the mode of passion and all material contamination. The next verse also I will read the translation and purport. Thus the self-controlled yogi, constantly engaged in yoga practice, becomes free from all material contamination and achieves the highest stage of perfect happiness in transcendental loving service to the Lord. Purport: Self-realization means knowing one's constitutional position in relationship to the Supreme. The individual soul is part and parcel of the Supreme, and his position is to render transcendental service to the Lord. This transcendental contact with the Supreme is called Brahma Sansparsh. Let us recite the Mangalacharan prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapt Kanchan Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So welcome to all of you for this evening's discussion on Bhagavad Gita. With the blessings of the assembled Vaishnavas, I will try to speak a few words in the glorification of the Lord. So this chapter is entitled Dhyana Yoga, the process of meditation. There are a number of processes, yogas, described in Bhagavad Gita. Starting from chapter 2, Lord Krishna is instructing Arjuna in the matter of different kinds of yoga. Buddhi yoga, Sankhya yoga, Karma yoga, Jnana yoga, Dhyana yoga, Ashtanga yoga. Finally, the purpose of all these yogas is only one. Is somehow or other to establish our relationship with the Lord. Yoga means joining, connecting. So in different ways, according to the consciousness of all kinds of people, Lord is describing process, different processes. Some people are more inclined towards study and analysis. So there is a Sankhya Yoga where they study the nature of the soul, the nature of the super soul, the divine qualities of the Supreme, and in a very detailed way they understand what is spirit, what is matter, what is super soul. And once that is understanding is clear, then one will start to follow the right path. Similarly, Karma Yoga, some people are more inclined to perform different type of activities. So Lord prescribes the process, the methods, the consciousness in which the activities should be performed, so that the same activities which usually bind one to this material world will liberate one from this material world. If it's performed with proper consciousness, with proper attitude, with proper understanding. Similarly, Jnana Yoga and the other processes are there. In this chapter, it's called Dhyana Yoga. Actually, all these yoga processes are not mutually exclusive. It's not that one process is completely different from the other. They overlap. There are many things that are common. And the most central piece that is common across all the yoga systems is the mind control. Mind control or sense control or self-control. It's mentioned in different ways. But that is a common theme that runs all across. Whatever yoga process one follows, the control of the senses is essential. And in this chapter, from the very beginning, Lord Krishna is describing how to control the mind. There are a number of verses in the beginning that describe how to control the mind. And here he is concluding. He has already described the process. Mostly the process of meditation and Ashtanga Yoga. And now he is going to conclude. He is telling the result of a person who has controlled the mind. So these two verses which we read today, they are describing the status or the state of a person who has achieved the mind control. In this material world, the natural tendency of the senses is to go outward. All our senses, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, all these senses, by default, they go outward. They go towards sense objects. Eyes would like to see beautiful scenes, the ear likes to hear some sensational music. The nose likes to smell some nice fragrant things. The tongue always likes to eat. People, we can always see so many restaurants, different shops, eatables coming up all the time, new shops. Why? Because there are so many people who would like to eat. So many different kinds of mundane music is being produced because people like to hear. So many videos, and also in the world so many other scenes are there to see, people like to see. See, if one does not practice any yoga system, the senses will have a natural flow towards the sense objects. That's natural. That's in this material world, most of the people, 99.9999% people, will have this kind of tendencies. Very few will be there whose natural tendency will be to withdraw from the sense objects and engage them in the service of the Lord. But when the senses are always going outward, it means they are not controlled. Means the senses are agitated by the sense objects. Sense objects can any time agitate our senses and they can drag us anywhere. So that state is called uncontrolled mind, uncontrolled senses. Mind being the controller of all the senses, if mind is controlled, then all the senses are automatically controlled. And that is why here the mind control is being described. That how should the mind be controlled? Now one may ask, what is the harm in engaging the senses in sense objects? If eyes want to see, let them see. Tongue wants to eat, let it eat. Ears want to hear something, let it hear. What is the problem? What is wrong with it? Why do we always talk about sense control? In Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, when Lord Krishna is about to wind up his pastimes in this material world, in Dwarika, when he decides to leave, then he takes everyone to Prabhas Kshetra. And his very dear friend and brother Uddhava comes to know of Krishna's plan. Then Uddhava approaches Krishna and requests him to take him also along with him to the spiritual world. But Krishna had a different plan. He wanted Uddhava to stay back. So then Uddhava asked for guidance from Krishna, that so far I have been living in this world with you, I talk to you, I sleep with you, I eat with you, I play with you. Once you are gone, how will I live? It will be very difficult. In this world also we see someone who is very, very close. When we get separated from that person, it becomes difficult. Then what to speak of someone who has been staying and living and eating and talking and joking and playing with Krishna? How that person will survive? That was the state of Uddhava. But because Krishna wanted Uddhava to stay, so Uddhava stayed back, even though it was very difficult for him. But he asked for guidance, that after you leave, what should I do? And how should I, what should I do? What should be my duties? Please instruct me. Then Krishna spoke at length to Uddhava, giving many instructions. And that big portion of many chapters is described in Srimad Bhagavatam called Uddhava Gita. And in that there comes a section also called 24 Gurus, where he describes the pastime of one Avadhuta Brahman who is visiting the Yadu Maharaj. And that Avadhuta Brahman is said to be Bhagavan Dattatreya, who is very renounced. And one day he arrives in the kingdom of Yadu Maharaj. And then Yadu Maharaj, who is a very great devotee and great personality, he immediately recognized that this person, even though he possesses nothing, he has nothing, but he is very happy. So what is it that he has that makes him so happy and blissful? She inquired from him. And then Avadhuta Brahman replied that, I have met 24 gurus. I have 24 gurus and I have taken lessons from them. And because of those lessons, they are so wonderful that I am always blissful. And I can wander the whole universe without any anxiety and live very blissfully and happily. And then he starts describing each of those 24 gurus and what is the lesson that he has learnt from each guru. And those gurus are still present in this world. His gurus are Prithvi, Vayu, Rakasham, the earth, the sun, the air, the wind, the mountain, the ocean, the python. All these are his gurus. And they are still there. Earth is still there, the sun is still there, the moon is still there, the air is still there. Mountains are there, the trees are there, the ocean is there. The water is there. The python is there, the bee is there, the elephant, deer, moth, fish. All those are still there. Most of, out of 24, I would say, around 20 we can very easily find. Still. Those gurus are still there and they are still teaching the same lesson. The same lesson they are still teaching. So it's the person who nature is always teaching in many ways. If we have a learning attitude, we will always learn. We can always learn. So while describing those 24 gurus, in the middle he speaks of these five gurus, and each one of them, from each one of them he learns what is the harm if one of the senses are uncontrolled. As we are talking about the sense control, we have five main senses and then the mind. Manaha sasthani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. So mind, including mind, we have six senses. So the five main senses, we have the sense of the sight, eyes, the nose, the ears, the tongue and the skin. These are knowledge acquiring senses from which we learn something. From eyes we have visual senses, the auditory senses, the tongue is there, the taste, the fragrance, and the skin is the touch. So there he talks about elephant and how an elephant gets captured. Because the elephant, how people go to capture elephant, they dig a big, they dig the earth, very big hole they will make. And they will cover it nicely and they will probably put some statue or something of a she elephant. And the male elephant, trying to associate with the she elephant, they will run and they will fall in the ditch. So this is skin. He wants to associate with the touch of the skin and gets caught and finally captured. So from this elephant he learns that if our sense of touch is uncontrolled, we can get into danger. One can get into danger. And in this world, people people get provoked and they cannot control their desires, and then they associate they establish unwanted relationships just to enjoy the sense of touch. So that can be very dangerous if it is not done in according to the rules and regulations of the scriptures. It can be very harmful. So that is a lesson that Avadhut learnt from elephant. Then from deer, a deer in the forest gets attracted to the music. The hunter who goes hunting deer, he plays a very nice music. And the deer is totally captivated, does not understand, and he, wherever deer is, he comes running to the source of music, where the music is being played. So captivated that he forgets everything else, and very easily comes there, and then he gets trapped. So the lesson to learn from this deer is that if my sense of hearing is not controlled, I can get into danger, can get into difficulty. Then from the moth, small insect, who runs towards fire. When there is a fire, there is some light, this moth will run. Even though it can be dangerous, sometimes it gets burnt. Moth will be hovering around the fire or light. Sometimes we see, especially in rainy season, when the new rain comes, then lot of small insects, they will hover around the tube light or bulb. And sometimes they will touch and they will die. And that we can also see, wherever there is fire, they will go. Because moth is attracted towards fire. Even though it gets burnt by that fire, but it's attracted, it cannot control that form. The form of fire, it cannot restrain, it has to go. When it sees fire, it has to go. So similarly, one who does not have a control on the sense of sight can get into difficulty. In this world, we see people are too much attracted by so many mundane scenes, mundane beauty, and because of that attraction, sometimes they get so much polluted, they commit crimes, they get into difficulty. Mind gets so polluted. So that is to learn from moth. Then there are bees. The bees, honey bees, they collect small honey from going from one flower to another flower to another flower. But sometimes they get into difficulty in two ways. One is, of course, they collect all the honey and they put it in honeybees, the where they put the deposit the honey. But some other person comes who destroys the whole thing and takes the honey, and sometimes he kills all these honeybees. Even though they work so hard, they are attracted by this fragrance of honey, that they always remain either with the flowers or near the honey, where they have this whole chhatta. Beehive. So they are hovering around that, and the person will come and sprinkle something and they all will die, and he will take the honey and go. After they have collected, they should take their honey, whatever they want, and bees should go away. But they don't have that intelligence. They need only a little bit, they collect a lot, and they remain there, inviting their own death. because of the fragrance that comes. They are attracted by that fragrance. So in this one way they get caught. The other is sometimes they will sit, the lotus flower is open during the day, so they sit there, and in the evening, when the evening comes, the lotus closes. And there are many flowers which close. When they close, they get trapped inside. They get trapped and they die. So they are not so intelligent that now evening is coming, so I should go away. They are attracted by that fragrance, so they cannot go away. Cannot go away. And they get trapped. So if the sense of fragrance, the smell, the nose is not controlled, one can get in difficulty. So that's fourth. And the fifth one is fish. The fisherman goes in the ocean or pond or lake, wherever, in the river, and they throw a bait where they will put another, either kachua or some other insect there, something, and trying to test that, the fishes will come and catch. But as soon as they try to eat the bait, they get caught. Because they cannot control the sense of the taste. Tongue, they cannot control the tongue. So they get caught. So this Avadhut, he says, I learned from the fish that if I have my tongue uncontrolled, then I can get in difficulty. So you see, even one senses are not controlled, that can bring one to complete destruction. Then what about if all the senses are not controlled? And most of the people in this world, they have all five senses uncontrolled. Then we are living in how much difficulty and how much danger. So that should show us how important it is to have the sense control. Feeling the necessity of sense control. Without sense control, one cannot practice any spiritual life. No yoga can be practiced without sense control. One can follow so many things. Every path, there are so many gurus, there are so many paths, so many systems. One can follow all those things, but unless one practices sense control, one will make no progress. Everything will just be a show business. Show business. It's like if one is doing all sense gratification and still wears dhoti kurta, puts tilak, and follows some things, some rules and regulations, some other things, but does not make a sincere effort to control the senses, his progress will either be, he will be very static, like he will not make any progress, or the progress will be very, very slow, that it will not be visible at all. That's why many times we see that, we hear this, that, oh, I have been practicing for so many years, but still I don't feel any changes, because there is no sense control. No sense control. And even if one controls these five senses little bit by practicing some austerity, but does not make any effort to control the mind, like a person is engaged in gossiping all the time, hearing all dirty things, all criticism, all negativity, mind is so polluted, then also one will make no progress. Senses need to be withdrawn from the external engagements. Then only we can go inside. The yoga means to connect with the super soul, to establish that relationship with the super soul. Super soul is residing within our heart. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. Super soul is residing within the heart. So in order to establish that relationship with the Lord, the super soul, one has to go inside. But if senses are always running towards outside sense objects, then how can they go inside? It's not possible. Means one must practice sense control to engage the senses only to the extent it's required for the maintenance of the body. That's all. Beyond that, senses should not be engaged. Then one can practice going inward. That is meditation. When one tries to remember Krishna, focuses on inner self, even just meditating that I am different from this body. This body is an external covering. I am not this body. I am someone different. This body will go away one day. And Super Soul Krishna is living with me, he is watching me, he is a witness to everything, he is a well-wisher. Having these thoughts, cultivating these thoughts again and again, all this helps us to connect with the Supreme. And our process of Krishna consciousness, following four regulative principles, chanting Krishna's names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Chanting Krishna's names, hearing Krishna Katha like we are doing now, taking Krishna Prasadam, doing some Seva, serving Vaishnavas, visiting Holy Dham, all these processes help us in controlling our senses. These are Krishna conscious processes and they help us in remembering Krishna. Remembering Krishna. When we remember Krishna, when we pray to Krishna, he will help us control our senses because he is the master of the senses. Once we understand the need of the sense control and we are very sure about it, then the question comes, how to control? Unless we are convinced that the senses need to be controlled, we will not make any effort. Only when we understand the need, then we will pray to Krishna. Because by only our own strength, it's very difficult to control the senses. Senses are very powerful. But when we pray to Krishna and seek His guidance and His blessings, pray to Him that you please control my senses. I want to engage these senses in your service. When we pray like this, then Krishna is very happy. And when he is happy, then he can control. Because he is the master of the senses, Rishikesha. So best sense control happens when we engage the senses in Krishna's service and pray him. Pray to him to control. And engage our senses in his service. Automatically it will be controlled. When Krishna engages our senses in His service, they will automatically be controlled. The other yoga processes, when they talk about sense control, are very difficult and also not foolproof. Because in all other processes, the person, the practitioner, tries to control the senses by himself. And our strength is very limited. But in the process of devotional service, we pray to Krishna to please engage our senses in your service. And then Krishna controls. When Krishna controls, there is no problem. He can control. So this is how we should practice sense control. The best way to practice sense control is to engage the senses in Krishna's service. Rishikesha Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanyo Bhaktir Uchate. This is bhakti. Rupa Goswami gives this definition of bhakti. When senses are engaged in the service of the Rishikesh, that is called bhakti. So this is the process here in these two verses. You see, it says that the yogi whose mind is fixed on me, Krishna is saying, whose mind is fixed on me, verily attains the highest perfection of transcendental happiness. When mind is fixed on Krishna, happiness will automatically come. Because mind is fixed on something who is source of happiness. Krishna is Sachid Ananda. Krishna is the source of happiness. And if my mind is fixed on Krishna, means my mind is fixed on happiness, we will naturally be happy. Krishna is the source of happiness. He is always happy. He is never miserable. He is never unhappy. Never in the Bhagavatam we see where he is unhappy, he is suffering. Any pictures we see, he is always smiling and happy. He has no anxiety. So, when the yogi's mind is fixed on me, he attains the highest perfection of transcendental happiness and he is beyond the mode of passion. He realizes his qualitative identity with the Supreme. The person understands that he is not of this world. He belongs to the spiritual world. That is understanding that identity, that I do not belong to this world. I belong to the spiritual world. And thus he is freed from all reactions to past deeds. In this way, all his reactions are gone. Brahmabhu akalmasham, all kalmas, all the dirty things that are there, they are finished. When one is fixed in thought of Krishna. And the same thing is said in the next verse also. Thus the self-controlled yogi, constantly engaged in yoga practice, becomes free from all material contamination and achieves the highest stage of perfect happiness in the transcendental loving service to the Lord. So it's a gradual process. The more we fix our mind on Krishna, the more we become free from material reactions. The more we become free from material reactions, the more we become fixed on Krishna. And in this way the cycle goes on. It's not that suddenly somebody will turn on a switch. That's like light is either off or on. There is no gradual thing here. But in a spiritual life, it's not just on and off. It's a gradual process. Where slowly, slowly, the more we get closer to Krishna, the more we become free from material contamination. The more we become free from material contamination, the more we like to practice Krishna consciousness. Then the more we practice, we become more free from contamination. More free means more desire to practice. And in this way it goes on. And slowly, slowly all contamination goes away. And we become completely free. And in that state, one is completely blissful. And that's when he becomes eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. So this is what is being described here by Lord Krishna. And this same theme will continue in the coming days. I think 5 minutes left, so I will conclude here. Thank you very much. If there is any comments, senior Vaishnavas are there. If anyone has anything to say, we can listen from them. Microphone can be passed if there is.
Hare Krishna. As you were saying, the senses, just like Prabhupada gave example of a young boy and girl, they are attracted to each other. That then the senses are so strong, they cannot control the senses. And even Lord is sitting in their heart, they are saying, this is not a good thing, you don't do this thing. But their body senses are very strong, they cannot control, and they use the senses for the pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So any question here or any?
Yes. This is common, and okay. You can speak something if you can, okay. Say better about this.
Okay. So in this regard, actually Srila Prabhupada spoke once about this. He said that everywhere boys are attracted to girls, girls are attracted to boys. That's there everywhere. But Srila Prabhupada said, but in India we have a culture. Even if the attraction is there, one will control because of the culture. Somebody asked this question to him when he was here. Like in India, nowadays things are changing, but if you go like 30 years, 40 years, 50 years ago, a boy will not go and freely talk to another girl. It was not a common scene to see. All of us know that. That culture was there. So he said that when the strong spiritual, strong Vedic culture is there in the society, that helps in self-control. But in Western world, if one boy once feels little bit like talking to another girl, there is no cultures, so he can go and talk. Nobody will object, it's acceptable. He can talk, he can associate, or they can just go for some movie together without taking anyone's permission. All that is acceptable. But here, there was a culture where even if a boy wants or feels like talking or interacting, because of the strong culture, he will not go. He will control. He will control. So that's why spreading the Vedic culture is very important. When a strong culture is there, people will practice self-control in that culture. Like here also in our temple, we have some culture. Certain things are followed. So when that culture is there, people come to the temple, they know in temple some culture is there, so they don't do certain things. At least, no smoking, no drinking. That culture is there in the temple. So anybody who comes, even though he may feel like smoking, he will not do here. He will go out and do. Because that culture is there. So similarly, it's a great responsibility on all of us to spread, to preach this Vedic culture. In the absence of a culture in society, practicing self-control is very difficult. And that's why Srila Prabhupada has done a lot to spread this culture of Krishna consciousness. The more this culture spreads, the easier it will be for people to practice sense control. In the absence of a culture, it's impossible. Okay, yes, Mataji.
I just want to comment a little bit. I was born in the Vedic culture, and I kind of grew up in the Western world. Growing up was really like what you said, you know, there was always the separation, that respect. But now from what I see that India or the other part of the world that used to have any culture is almost non-existent. And I live in the Western world for the past over 30 years. I can see that there is more culture compared to the place where there was once upon a time culture. You watch, nowadays you cannot even watch an Indian movie with the family because of everything is exposed. But on the TV in the Western world, there is a certain time that they will be showing when all the children are sleeping. You know, just a comment about culture. So you are right that this culture of Krishna consciousness should be spread all over the world.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mataji. Okay, so I think we can end here. Thank you all very much for coming this evening and your patient participation in this Bhagavad Gita discussion. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.